Thing. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here, that they've taken the time out of their day, Lord, to come and to study your word. Lord, we pray for those that are sick, for the prayer request, those, Lord, that can't be with us. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would touch their bodies, Lord, as it would be your will. And whatever happens, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it. We ask now, Lord, as we begin to study your word, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. If there's one here, Lord, that's lost, that something could be said that the Holy Spirit would use to convict them and let them see that today is indeed the day of salvation and that you've done everything necessary to save us, Lord, and all we need to do is accept that gift. Lord, we just pray now as we continue that you would give me the strength and the wisdom to say the words that they need to hear and everything that's accomplished, Lord, we'll praise you for it. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now, verse 2 there is not a conditional verse. It's not that you as a saved individual have to keep something in your memory or you're not going to be saved. That's not what Paul's saying. It would be like if I were to write a letter to a church in Statesville, and in that letter I would tell them, look, if you will continue to preach and remember what I have taught you about the gospel and to preach that, then people are going to be saved there in Statesville. And that's what he's writing here to the church at Corinth is, if you will remember those things that I have told you, then you'll be saved. The people will be saved through the preaching of the gospel. It's not a conditional thing that if you don't remember it, and if you don't keep it in your memory exactly as I, you know, said it to you, then you're not going to be saved. That's not what he's saying. Salvation is not in you accumulating knowledge. Salvation is in you accepting the free gift that has been offered to you based upon what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. He went to the cross, died on that cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day for your justification. That is what was needed to be done in order to save you. The gospel is simply the words that is communicating what that deed was. The deed was Jesus Christ dying for your sins. And when a preacher speaks that gospel to you, those are just the words that are telling you what God has power to save you because of what His Son did for you. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you know Genesis through Revelation, if you can, you know, recite the books of the Bible, it does not matter if you know all the cliches. All of those things don't matter. The only thing that matters is whether or not you have accepted that gift. That is salvation. Salvation is not in knowledge. It's not in you accumulating knowledge or keeping that knowledge up there. You know, if we believe not, Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So it's not in us. It's in him. And that's the main thing to remember. Salvation is not in what you can do or what you can remember. It's in what Jesus Christ did for you. And that's what Paul is saying to this church here at Corinth. He goes on to say in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Excuse me. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, there's in times past there has been some discussion among grace believers as to verse 3, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And what Scriptures is he talking about? What Scriptures did Jesus Christ die according to that Paul is writing to them about? Was it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Was it the Old Testament Scriptures? Was the mystery that was hid and revealed to Paul in the Old Testament Scriptures? Those are the things that people like to argue about. And you know, if you get on Facebook and if you're ever looking at some of these posts, I made one the other day where Jesus talked about they strain at a gnat, but they swallow a camel. I think there are people that would argue, like they used to years ago, how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. They will look for things to argue about in the Scripture for the sake of argument, instead of just letting the Scripture interpret and reveal exactly what it is that it's talking about. And I think if we will allow that to happen today. Maybe we can see something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But he says, excuse me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And I think one word there that is important is this word. Our. Our sins. Paul is including himself in this passage here. Christ died for our sins. Back in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Paul preached to these people. He preached to these people. He is including himself in it. Our. Those are important things. Which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, when did Paul preach to these people? Where in his ministry was the Apostle Paul in Corinth preaching to individuals? Hold 1 Corinthians because we'll be back in there, but look in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. In verse 1. After, I may need you to clear your throat for me the way that Brian was talking about. Is it this thing that's causing that to happen? After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. They were tent makers. And wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. So Paul goes into the synagogue and he reasons every Sabbath. Now, I don't know if it is two Sabbaths, three Sabbaths, a month, 2 months, 6 months. I don't know. But I know by definition of the word every that it is more than one. So for more than 1 week, Paul goes into the synagogue. And there in the synagogue, he reasons with the Jews. What is he reasoning? What is he telling them? What is he showing them? What do you think Paul went into the synagogue to reason with the Jews about? Look back and hold 18 there. You got 1 Corinthians 15. Hold chapter 18 there. Look back in chapter 17 of Acts. In verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So in Thessalonica, he goes into the synagogue. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So what was Paul's manner? Paul's manner was to go into a city, go into the synagogue in that city, and begin to reason with the Jews how that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. But before he would tell them that revelation, he would show them in the Scripture how that Christ, not Jesus Christ, Christ. First, Christ means Messiah. So he would go into the Old Testament Scriptures and he would reason with them and show them how that Christ must needs have suffered and died and raised again from the dead. That was not something they were looking for. They were looking for, wilt thou at this time establish the kingdom for us? They weren't looking for a lamb. They were looking for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They were expecting their Messiah, their Christ, to come in with a rod of iron and to rule and reign. And that wasn't what happened. And so Paul would go into the synagogue and he would say, look at the Scripture. Look what the Old Testament Scriptures here are showing us. They're showing us how that he had to die, how that he had to suffer. These things were going to happen. In fact, hold, you got about four hands worth of holding there, but look back in Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And I can just see Paul turning to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah and beginning to read and show them these things. In verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried whose sorrows? Our sorrows. That word our. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and he would begin to read those things. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify how many? Many. Not all, many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. These are important words here that you need to understand. In 1 Corinthians 15, don't turn back there yet, but when Paul was there, he said, I preached unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, what Scriptures would he have had available to him that he could have showed those Jews in the synagogue that they would have believed? It would have been the Old Testament. Had he walked in there with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as I've heard some people say, they would have laughed him out of the synagogue. Why? They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They had just hadn't seen him crucified. In fact, look back in Acts chapter 18. His manner was to go into the synagogue to show them out of the Old Testament Scriptures that Christ had to die, had to suffer, that he was going to be raised again from the dead. Look in Acts 18 again. In verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He had been weeks in the synagogue presenting unto them how that Christ had to die and that he was dying for their sins. But it wasn't until Silas and Timotheus show up that he was pressed in the spirit. It began to bother him that he hadn't shared this yet. And Paul then shares with him, hey, all these things that I've been showing you about in the Old Testament, well, Jesus is the Christ. He is the one that was dying for our sins. That's what the Old Testament Scriptures were talking about. That is Isaiah 53, in a nutshell. And it wasn't for you, and it wasn't for me. It was for the Jewish nation that Isaiah 53 is written. He died for their sins according to the Scriptures. And so, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Well, then I know the gospel that he declared unto them is that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I know in verse 3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I know when he received that. It would have been in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. I know what he preached. I know who he preached to. And I know where he got it. He got it out of Isaiah. So when he writes to them here in 1 Corinthians 15, the hour sins that he's talking about, the hour that he's talking about, are those people there in Acts chapter 18 that he preached to, and when they ran him out of the synagogue, when he told them that, gee, we didn't read those verses, but when he told them that Jesus was the Christ, was the Messiah, man, they ran him out of there. So what does he do? There was a gentleman in the house that was joined hard to the synagogue, and that's where he goes. It means it was fastened against it. He goes into that, and for 18 months he's there in Corinth preaching and teaching the mystery as it had been revealed to him. And the Jews that were in that synagogue, they came out, the ones that believed, into the house, I think it's Crispus, whose house it was there that was joined hard to the synagogue. And in that house, Paul preached for 18 months to those Jews and those Gentiles that would believe it and would hear it. So, when we read 1 Corinthians 15 and when we preach 1 Corinthians 15, and I do this, and I say this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he did. He died for your sins according to the Scriptures. But which Scriptures? Look in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter. Give me just a second to find it. 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter writing here says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also," what? The other Scriptures. So, Paul, all of his epistles, Romans through Philemon, 13 books that were written to you and me, 13 books making up the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Peter says, he writes some things that's pretty hard to understand in there. And people wrestle with them like they do other Scriptures. So what is Peter in fact saying? Romans through Philemon is Scripture. That is the Scripture that was written to us. And that is the Scripture that Jesus Christ died according to for you and me. Look in Romans chapter 5. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans 5 verse 6. "We were yet without strength. In due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's us, folks. We are the ungodly. There's nothing about us that's godly. Now, there are some of us that mask it a little better than others. But there is nothing good. No, not one. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." If the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian to ever walk around in sandals, could say that, then what am I? If he is a wretched man, and all the things that he did for the suffering that he went through for the body of Christ, and he suffered for the body of Christ tremendously. If he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," then what am I? How much worse than a wretched man am I? And so we are ungodly, folks. But Paul says, in due time, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So I can recite 1 Corinthians 15 and not have any problems. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But those scriptures that apply to me are found in Romans 3:5. The ones that when Paul was writing to those people there at Corinth, those Jews that were in Crispus' house there, was joined hard to the synagogue, the scriptures he was using to show them was probably Isaiah, more than likely. Paul quotes Isaiah a lot throughout his epistles. And so I can preach that. I can say that with all confidence, that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. And had it not been for the Scriptures, Romans through Philemon, that were given to the Apostle Paul, that he penned down for you and me, then I would have no hope in this world. But I have hope because of that. Two more passages. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And take 1 Timothy, chapter 2, I believe it is. Let me get there. Yeah, Matthew chapter 20 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at those two passages. Back in Isaiah, we read where it says that he would bear the sins of many, didn't we? Isaiah 53. We'll look at Matthew chapter 20 in verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He gave his life a ransom for many. That's what Isaiah said back in Isaiah 53. That's what Paul, no doubt, preached to those people at Corinth and showed them in the Scripture, until he was pressed in the Spirit to reveal unto them that the Christ was actually Jesus, their Messiah. And when he revealed that, "Man, get out of here. We don't want to hear no more of this." What a lot of them said. They blasphemed. "Get out of here. We don't want to hear this mess." And so, okay, I'll go to the Gentiles. They'll accept it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's hard to break into this because it just all runs together. Let's just start in verse 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." And there's an order there, folks. And it's in there for a reason. "He will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." Salvation is the first and foremost thing in your life. Once you're saved, accumulate all the knowledge that you can get when it comes to this book. But the thing that you should worry yourself or concern yourself the most about is your salvation. It comes first. And, you know, sometimes knowledge puffeth up. That's what Paul said. And when a person accumulates that knowledge, and then they are in that setting with other people that have that knowledge, and they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then that pride issue starts to creep in. And, well, you know, what are they going to think about me if I reveal to them that I'm lost after all of this, after all these things I've said, after all the things that I know, and I've never trusted Him? What are they going to think about me if I reveal this to them? Well, you know what? They're going to find out eventually. And I would rather they find out here than find out there. Because finding out there, the consequences are a lot worse. I have never met a Christian, that would, after a person who had, you know, played the role and then said, you know what, I just got saved. And that person walk off, a Christian come to me and go, can you believe that? You believe how they acted? They acted like they were saved all this time. They're a hypocrite. I've never heard a Christian say that. They rejoice. If you are lost and you get saved and you share that with any other Christian, they're going to rejoice. They're not going to look down at you. They're going to lift you up in their prayers. And so, salvation first, knowledge second. Get it in that order, and, you know, I think you'll be in good shape. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. Not what Paul says, is it? He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is a difference between all and many. In the dispensation of the grace of God, he would have all men to be saved, and he gave himself a ransom, all men. Are you part of all? You're in here this morning and you're part of all? He gave himself to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, see yourself as part of all. See yourself as that one individual that if it was only you, he would have died for you. But understand, it wasn't just you that he died for. He died for all. Every individual alive today has the ability to be saved based upon what Jesus Christ did. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they look like on the outside. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they're in or what kind of group they're joined with. Any individual today can be saved based upon what Jesus Christ did for them. Salvation is a gift. Have you ever received it? I would encourage you today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make today the day that that happens. He'll save you right where you're sitting. You don't have to get up. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to get down on your knees. Just accept the gift and rejoice in it and share it with somebody. Make their day better. You know, it always makes someone's day better when you find out that someone was saved. You know, just you get that warm feeling that happens inside of you and you can't control it. So share it with somebody if it happens to you. Testify. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me as prisoner. So don't be ashamed if you get saved. Share it with somebody and make their day. All right? I think the words and the phrasing is, you are at liberty to go.